نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Last week we started the discussion on the life of the great Imam known as Al-Imam Al-A'zam, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali, as we have discussed last week, his name was Nu'man bin Thabit, but better known to each one of us as Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali. Some of the principles that Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali had in deducing jurisprudence, extracting laws from Quran and Hadith, was that Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali himself says that the first thing I would do when any mas'ala used to come is that read the Quran to find the ruling and the verdict in the Quran Kareem. And if it's not found in the Quran Kareem, then number two, I will study the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if the answer is not found in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then will I study the statements and the views, the opinions of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Which meant that Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali, in the masail that those that follow Imam Abu Hanifa, known as the Hanafis, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali was not tamsakin. He was not someone that just came up with laws. Rather, he said that the first source, in Arabic they call it Al-Masadir Al-Arba'ah, the four primary sources of laws and of ahkam and masail, is that number one, we look into the Quran Kareem. Number two, the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Number three, ijma, consensus of the Ummah. And number four is Qiyas and analogy. That's the fourth part. So Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali, he himself says, we find that is why Imam Shafi Rahmatul Ali, one day a mas'ala came to him. Someone asked him some mas'ala. Imam Shafi Rahmatul Ali told the person, I am not too sure, I don't know. So he didn't feel shy to see, I don't know. That is why the scholars of the past used to quote and say, La adri nisful ilm. That not knowing, to say, I don't know, is half of knowledge. So one day our ustad, someone asked him, Walana, if I tell someone I don't know the answer, how can that be knowledge? He says, when you know you don't know, it means you know it. And when you don't know you don't know it, then you don't know it. Means to say you don't know is knowledge. It means you've got knowledge, you know it's not part of the knowledge you do have. So that's also knowledge. So la adri nisful ilm. So Imam Shafi Rahmatul Ali, anyway, this question comes to him. He tells the person, I'm not too sure. I will research, I will read. He started reciting Quran. And he comes to a certain part of the Quran and he says, there's it. As he was reading, he read the ayat again and he read again. He says, there's the application. That was the question. This is the answer in the Quran Kareem. Meaning reading, pondering over the Quran Kareem, and eventually he finds the answer. So Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali, that is why his students used to say, with regards to nasikh mansukh, nasakh, meaning abrogation of ayah, he was the most knowledgeable of his time. The most knowledgeable. What does that mean? That he says that I always take the latter of the practices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says one is a person studying the statements of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did something, and he also did the contrary of it. But now, both these ahadiths are authentically narrated. Maybe both are in Bukhari Sharif. And there are many such ahadiths that come in Bukhari and Muslim. Authentic books of ahadiths. Yet they are contradicting each other. So the question comes, Mulana, both ahadiths, which one was I practice on? Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali was that scholar who was par excellence in the science of the dating of the ahadith, which is a lengthy discussion. So he said that I know this hadith, which year it was narrated, and this hadith from the year that he met with this sahabi, and the year he became a Muslim, whatever the case be, this hadith was later on in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore I practice on this hadith. A simple thing, example, some sahaba radiallahu anhum. Okay, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a dog has to drink
of a utensil or water. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that wash the cup 7 times. That's what he said initially. And then initially Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, uqtulu kulla kalb, kill every dog. Every dog you see, kill it. Later on Nabi sallam abrogated it. He turned back on it. And he says, no. Uqtulu kalb illa al-aswad, al-bahim. Kill every dog except the black dangerous dog. The dangerous dog, that dog, rather, don't kill the dogs except the black one. Don't kill the dogs except the black dangerous dog. Meaning a certain dog that was found in Saudi Arabia in the time of Nabi Sam. That dog you must kill it because of its danger to the Ummah. So initially Nabi Sam said kill every dog. Then he says no, don't kill it except the black one. That should still be killed. And then Nabi Sam says, I told you to wash your utensil 7 times. Well, now you wash it once, najasat is out, impurities are out, it's fine. So coming to the law that maybe can apply to us now, is that generally, you know, if you go to a hotel, I mean, it was something, personally myself, we grew up with it. Go with our parents, we used to go for holiday. The first thing you come, now you're hungry. You really want to eat. So mommy will say, no, hold on. You start wiping, I start washing. But mommy, what you doing? No, what if before us there were non-Muslims using these dishes? Right, one time, wipe it. The sister will come around, or I'd hold the dish here now. Second time, start counting. Each dish must be what, 7 times, and the cups are 7 times. What if they drink daru in it? So wash it 7 times, then we used to eat, we used to drink, whatever the case be. But what is the mas'ala? That you will wash something until the impurities are removed. That's all. There's no 7, there's no 3, there's until the impurities are removed. Okay, maybe something more interesting for us. You go to a first 5-star resort, first class, sometimes 7-star resort. Now, can you use that grill for your braai? Can you use it or can't you use it? That's a big question. Generally, people, they carry their jaris wherever they go in. Move that and put ours. Put it in a black bag, bin packet, and we use it. So can you use that or can't you use it? Fire is a cleanser. Fire is a cleanser. Which means that those people that come and clean it, if you ever look for traces of fat, do you find it? No traces of fat. Any traces of the meat or the... Anyway, didn't you use masala? Masala is only Indian thing, right? But okay, there's no fat, there's no meat, there's no traces of anything. Can you use it? Yes, you can use it. Because the moment you put your charcoal and that is burning, everything evaporates, everything is cleansed. But they did clean it, obviously, before they came with some chemicals or whatever they come with. So yes, you can use it. See, people looking, wow, you sure you know what you're saying? This one, I think so, you spark your braai, that's why you got this masala. Well, fire is a cleanser. Fire cleanses. So that is the property of fire. Yes or no? Yes, it cleanses. So in this year, it will apply also. That as long as there's no traces of the fat or the meat, because possibly the person that came before was using haram meat, isn't it? Most probably. So there's no traces of it. It is permissible. You can use it. Put your fire, put your charcoal, let everything will be clean, inshallah ta'ala, and then you will use it. Anyway, coming back, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, that was the knowledge of nasikh mansukh, the abrogation of ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his level of taqwa, Allahu Akbar. One day one person came, and he was really fine. He was foul-mouthing, speaking bad of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, the student says, woe unto you, waylak, how do you speak about a man in this manner? Don't you know he reads one Quran in one rakat for the night? Do you have answers in front of Allah? If Allah has to question you that this banda of mine, this is what he used to do. One Quran in one rakat. What's your answer you're going to have? He was such a pious person. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, in the month of Ramadan, 62 Qur'ans, including the day of Eid. including the day of Eid, 62 Qurans used to be recited. Which means the day of his celebration was still in the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Laylatul Jaiza was one Quran. And the day of celebration was another Quran. Doesn't take too long. Ask the Hufaz, those that know their Quran, not Garbar, those that know their Quran, 8 to 9 hours comfortably you can finish one Quran. Meaning you sit one place and you concentrate and you are reading. You're not worried about the SMS and the WhatsApp, whatever the case be. 8 to 9 hours. Idris, exaggeration. Possible, isn't it? Inshallah. Gee, it's possible. 9 hours comfortably, inshallah. You'll be able to do it. 9 hours comfortable. Generally, when you're reading to yourself, you're not reading in like Qari Abdul Basit. You're not reading in that tone or in that speed. Obviously, you're a little bit softer, so therefore you're a little bit more swifter. You're a little bit more pacier in your reading. So therefore you can do more mileage. You'll be able to read more in that time that has been in more Quran in little bit time. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali. So this was Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali. One day, he mentioned to one of his students, he says, no portion of the Quran do I know except that I recited it in my Witr Salah. He says, what? He says, the entire Quran, from the beginning to the end, every portion of it was recited in my Witr. He says, how do you come to this conclusion? He says, well, when I used to start my Witr Salah, I used to start reciting Quran. Whatever, I stopped my door, my recitation, I started in my Witr Salah. And my Witr used to be very long rakats. My Witr used to be long rakat. Therefore, Hufaz, in Witr Salah, if you're reading Qul Huwallahu Qul A'udhu Birabbi Shaq Qul A'udhu Bin Nas, you're not Hafidul Quran. You're supposed to be reading your door. Supposed to be reading lot of Quran. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So anyway, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatul Ali, that was his taqwa, his ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, or rather Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that there are two types of knowledge. Man amila bima alima, allamahu Allahu ma lam ya'lam. That person, sometimes ulama come, they are sitting in our masjid, they are giving out their gems and their pearls of wisdom. And you just marvel, Ya Allah, how have you blessed him with that train of thought? How has he come to this conclusion from this hadith? Well, that was knowledge from Allah. Why? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person who practices on what he knows, Allah blesses him with knowledge he does not know. Knowledge he does not know. That is where we get gems from our ulama that are telling us things we never read before. But Mawlana, this hadith, sometimes if, for example, you go to the markaz in India, if you listen to the ulama reciting the Hayatul Sahaba, example, personally ourselves as students of deen, you're sitting in front of this alim, the same hadith that you know, he's explaining it. Ya Allah, what brains have you blessed him with that he explains it in this manner? Why? Because the little he knows, he practices. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with the ilmul ladunni. Ilmul ladunni from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah inspires the heart. Allah gives that knowledge. Example, now coming to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatul alayh. Nothing to do with fiqh, nothing to do with salah, fasting, nothing. He was so sharp and witty in reading between the lines. One day a person came and stood in front of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatul alayh. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatul alayh just gave him one glance and he says, there's it. This fellow here, he's got some hasad and enmity for me. But how you know that? Where's the x-ray machine? He said, no, he used to speak evil about me. I've got wind about it. But he didn't tell anyone. He just, on one glance, he just gauged the whole situation. So he says, Imam Abu Hanifa, I've got one question for you. So he says, Imam Abu Hanifa, no, there's so many other scholars, Ibn Shubruma, Abu Layla, and he gave a whole host of names. Go ask them. Are you asking me? He says, no. This year is very intricate. I'm scared to give the answer or get it from anyone. What if it's wrong? You give me the answer. Imam Abu Hanifa says, no problem, ask your question. All his students are around him. So what is the question? What is the condition of a person who has no hope of Jannah? He has No fear of Jahannam. No fear of Jahannam. He eats dead flesh. He bears testimony to things he hasn't seen. He detests the truth. He runs away from the mercy of Allah. And he loves fitna. All the students, what have you seen? All the students unanimously, in one voice said, no hope of iman. No hope of iman. There's no doubt on the kufr of such a person. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi lifts up his head. He says, you really want the answer? So he says, gee, can you help me out with the answer? The person who came with the question. He says, such a person is a believer and a true believer. Huh? Believer and a true believer also. So Imam Abu Hanifa, explain yourself. He says, you said the person has no hope of Jannah and no fear of Jahannam because he has pinned his hope on Allah. He's not hoping for Jannah, Jahannam, nothing. His hopes are on Allah. Fear is only for Allah. Love is only for Allah. Only for Allah. That's all. So he said, you said that he eats dead flesh? Well, that means that he eats fish. And you said that he bears testimony to things he hasn't seen? Al-imanu bil-ghayb, he believes in Allah without seeing Allah. You see that he detests the truth. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ Allah has called death the truth. He detests death. That's the truth. You see that he loves fitna. You see he loves fitna. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ fitna. Wealth and your children are a test to you. He loves them. And you see that this man is running away from the mercies of Allah. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, has said in the Quran, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِ Rahma in Quran, referring to rain. He runs away when it rains. This person is a true believer. You see, I knew, can't catch you. And he was the one that had that enmity for Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. He thought he'll get him off guard. Or he'll catch him. But here he read between the lines. Meaning questions of this nature, if he could read between the lines, tell me he couldn't read between the lines for salah, for fasting, for the ahkam that we practice on as Hanafis, whether it be taharat, your wudu, your salah, your ghusl, whatever the case be. When the person came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, again the wit, sharp, very quick to give answers. So yeah, there was a person that passed away, young boy. So they were carrying the janazah, and all the pious people, like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, etc. and company, were behind, following the janazah. So as they left the house, the mother of the mayyit comes out, and she takes her scarf, and she throws it over the bier. She's a pious lady. She throws her scarf and she holds on to the mayyit, onto the bier. So the father is agitated. And he says, listen, that you are so pious. Why are you doing this? There's only men here. Quick. There is one talaq for you if you don't go into your house immediately. This is what the husband said. Meaning the father of the mayyit, the husband. So the father of the mayyit says, one talaq for you. If you don't go into the house immediately, if you don't go into the house now. And the wife says, I will not go into the house until the janazah is performed. And if I go before that, all my slaves are emancipated. All my wealth is in sadaqah. So the people are looking, hey, they'll become poor. Everything went in sadaqah. Talaq will fall. What do we do? Everyone says, hey, angas, don't know what to do. They're like all worried, concerned. Imam Abu Hanifa says, what's happening? What's the issue? So he says, no, this is what the wife said. This is what the husband said. He said, put the janazah down. Which way is Qibla? That way. Allahu Akbar. Quickly, janazah salah was performed. He told the mother, go into the house, janazah salah is performed. Father, come with us, let's go to the Qabrastan. So she went into the house. Talaq didn't fall. And the slaves and her wealth was not given into sadaqah. Nothing was emancipated. And they continued with the janazah. Meaning at that moment to come so quickly up with some answer, the person will say, but Mawlana, janazah salah must be in the masjid, in the Sahel area, in the Qabrastan, when it needs to be. But you have to salvage the situation. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi was very witty, very quick-witted. That is why our pious predecessors, example Mufti Mahmud al-Hasan rahmatullahi, used to, most of us, we familiar with Imam Mufti Mahmud al-Hasan rahmatullah, Gangohi rahmatullah Ali. His qabr is in Ellsberg, in Johannesburg, passed away in South Africa. So anyway, one person came to him. And he was a person that was a little bit warped in his thinking, in his mind. He always, he was shrewd in his questions, in what he used to say to Mufti Saab. So one day he came, and he came into a debate with Mufti Saab. So Mufti Saab gave him his answers. Whatever question he had, Mufti Saab gave him his answers. Now he's feeling embarrassed. So he asked Mufti Saab, "You tell me, what is the difference between you and a khinzir?" Now Mufti Saab, with such composure, he says, "Now must I give him logical answers to this? You know khinzir? Khinzir is swine. What's the difference between you and khinzir?" So he said, "What do I do?" The person was sitting in front of him. So he put his hand, one, two. He said, "Between me and khinzir, 2 arms length difference." So the person was dumbfounded. "See, this Mufti Saab, don't touch. Let's move from here." So one day he came to Mufti Saab. And he's arguing with Mufti Saab, Mufti Mahmud al-Hasan. Mufti Saab must make salam with one hand or two hands. Must make salam with one hand or two hands. Mufti Saab, what debate now? Make salam. So anyway, he wanted to embarrass Mufti Saab. So one day he came and he put his hand behind and he's making salam deliberately. "Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab." Mufti Saab put his hands on his side and he went behind. He's doing like this. So I say, "What you looking at?" He said, No. "Main is fikr mein ho. I'm in this thought that dusri haath kis kaam mein lagi hai? Your second hand, what is busy doing in the back?" So he said, "Hey, Mahmud Saab, 2 hands. So that was the wit of our pious. How did it come? In due proportion to the Allah consciousness, to the taqwa and the relationship with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi, he was the student. He was the student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. We discussed it last week. Imam Abu Hanifa, 2 students main. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi, Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi, together were known as sahibin. Anyway, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi says that for 10 years, my ustad, Imam Abu Hanifa, supported me and my family because they had no source of survival. Me and my family for 10 years, he looked after us. 10 long years he looked after us. And not a frown on his face, he paid all our expenses. Every single cent of it he looked after and he took care of it. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, he used to dish out money. Meaning the faster it came, the faster it went. He used to just dish out money. Give and spend for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So one day, one person came and he used to always give a lot of money. He gave this one person 1,000 silver coins. 1,000 silver coins. And he gave him a lot of money. So eventually one of his students came. He says, "Oh Imam Saab, you're giving out too much money. You need to keep some for yourself. Invest, keep the money." So he said, "If only you saw my ustad, Hamad rahmatullahi, he used to spend much more than this. I'm trying to keep up on my ustad. I'm trying to keep up. I can't keep up." One day he was traveling on a journey. He was going on a journey. There were some associates and friends with him. And the camel rider or the owner of the camel and the person who was hiring the services, they were in some argument. They were discussing and debating something. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah agitated. He said, "Excuse me, what's the dispute all about? What's the dispute? You hired his services, you have to pay him. You gave a price, finished. That's the deal, give him his money. So what are you all arguing about?" So he said, "What's the price that you all arguing about? What was that fixed amount?" So the owner of the camel says, 40 silver coins. He says, "Oh my Allah, insan has lost his dignity for 40 dirhams. He took it from him. "Sorry, take it please. Don't fight. How can a Muslim lose his honor and dignity for 40 dirhams? In today's time, will be approximately 1,000 rand. Approximately 1,000 rand. Because 10 dirhams is the minimum mahar. The minimum mahar is 10 dirhams. That's about 250 rand, isn't it? So times 4, approximately 1,000 rand. You see, if two Muslims are disputing with each other, imagine if he was alive to see the Muslims in court for things that are 1,000 and little bit more than 1,000 rand. Whatever the case be, whatever amount. Then what disgrace wouldn't it bring to him? Looking at the ummah fighting for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Inshallah, it will be continued, the life and other discussions and incidents of the intelligence of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. But next week, inshallah, will be a program. One of the ulama will be coming, inshallah. The topic will be the messages of the messengers. Meaning all the different anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam that have come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent them to the nations to advise the nation. Each one of them, their folly was one. Each one of them, there was one downfall, there was one slip up, one mistake, besides the kufr and shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. Now, we as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, collectively all the sins are found in us, yet Allah hasn't destroyed us. Allah loves us so much, to that extent.